Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, and we have a very, very special guest in studio for this episode. Welcome to the show, Ed Ganigan. Welcome, Ed.
Hey, Damon. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this episode. We've been trying to get our schedules to line up so we could come on for a while, and finally we were able to get Pastor Ed to come on, so really excited about that. Also wanted to give a shout out to Nora, knowing that she is a diligent listener to the podcast.
Your number one fan.
She's our number one fan. So Nora, shout out to you. Thanks for listening. We're always excited to hear your feedback, and just thankful for all of our listeners out there. But as usual with some of our first-time guests, Ed, I wanted to ask you a question.
Sure.
What's God been highlighting to you recently?
What's God been highlighting to me recently? That's a great question. I think my initial thought would be just knowing his peace. Mm. I think his peace by the way he's making himself present in our lives. And so, there's just this thing about being able to hear God's voice and stepping into how he's leading that just kind of, I feel, opens us up more as individuals and followers of Christ to experience his peace and his presence in very real and powerful ways. Mm. I think that would be a good way to sum that up.
Is there a tangible experience that you've had recently that you can share with our listeners about how God's made that peace real in your life?
Yeah, I think as we, there's been times of reflection in the past, in the most recent past, but just being able to kind of look back, I've been meeting up with some mentors, some close brothers, and being able to look back almost as an exercise. We used to do something at Talbot, one of our classes that we had there, which was kind of like this timeline. And you may have done it, Damon, in your practical theology class, but it's an exercise where we kind of map out on a timeline all the highs and lows of our lives. And then being able to kind of look back, being guided by the Holy Spirit and having his wisdom, asking for his wisdom to see what was God trying to teach us during those times. And so I think recently there's been much time for reflection and contemplation in that regard. But just seeing how God and hearing God speak to us, like me and Nora, and guiding us in different decisions and such, where hearing that word of God has been kind of the way to know and experience him leading us and guiding us. I don't know if that's kind of vague or kind of, as I look back on moves from Hawaii to seminary, and then with the church plant with Catalyst, from moving there or even joining up with Nexus, and then moving back to Hawaii afterwards and then coming back to the mainland and such, I see that God, in a very generous and gracious way, has been present. And because he's been present with us in those times that can seem very uncertain, we've been able to experience his peace through that.
Yeah, I would feel that moving across the ocean multiple times could feel very uncertain. But, it seems like as you've been able to reflect on it, you've actually been able to recognize even in a greater way how the Lord has been present and how that's brought actually peace to you, maybe in making some of these decisions in the future.
Yeah, it's kind of like holding things with open hands now, but just kind of knowing God's timing isn't always our timing and such. And so, and then trying to connect with Nora as to how we're seeing. So if we did that timeline thing, as we look back, there are things that we feel like, man, we were feeling this way or feeling led in our own wisdom this way, but then God had other plans and God was present in all that uncertainty. And that allowed us to just kind of know things are going to be okay. Things are going to be okay. This is where God's leading, and wherever he guides, he provides. And that's been true of God's leadership and Jesus's shepherding in our lives. Full on, all the way, 110%. So, yeah.
Well, that's awesome. And I'm glad, personally, I'm glad that he's led you back to being a part of our Catalyst family. I mean, you've always been part of the Catalyst family, but just, you know, going from being extended family to being back in the fold and being able to see you regularly each week, it's just been a blessing for me. Because for those of you that don't know, Ed was on staff when we first started Catalyst. And regularly before staff meetings, what we would do is we'd go out to coffee and just hang out. And, you know, I think personally for me, I just want to, you know, honor you, Ed, with, you know, I really feel like those times are very formative for myself too. And just being able to, you know, see you as a spiritual older brother, spiritual father figure, and you know, someone that I could look up to and just ask questions, and that was willing to walk with me in just different formative parts of my spiritual side and also career wise too. I just really, you know, thank you for those times that we were able to have together. So, you know, when I heard that you guys were going to be coming back, it was like, okay, this is exciting for me personally.
So. Oh, thanks, Damon. That's humbling. You bless me, brother. I remember those times fondly, just grabbing donuts and being at the coffee shop right by the office before. And it's been a pleasure. One of the greatest blessings to see you blossom and just the things that you're doing here at Catalyst now, and to journey with you. You know what I mean? As a brother in the faith, to journey with you and see how God has used Catalyst and you as one of the leaders here at Catalyst to just really grow the people here. So the blessing's all mine, brother. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. So one of the things that we wanted to do for this episode too is to kind of dive a little bit deeper into this past Sunday's sermon. So Pastor Barry gave a message about how to walk in the Spirit and how to align our spirit, our soul, and our body together so that we're walking in the way that the Lord had originally intended. As we were prepping for this episode, one of the things that we kind of both appreciated about the way that Pastor Barry introed this series is he brought it from a unified or kind of a unity perspective, mm-hmm. where I think a lot of other places, or just maybe not a lot, but other places might use it as a kind of a divisive topic, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. but the way that Pastor Barry presented it was very unifying, and I really appreciated that. So I guess I'll give a little bit more context to what he actually said. So Pastor Barry, at the beginning, he shared about the way that he has felt the Lord has led him in terms of how we were created.
Mm-hmm.
We were created as a trichotomistic being, right?
Uh-huh.
We are a spirit, a soul, and a body. And there are lots of other believers that are well-respected, strong believers that believe that we only have a soul and a body.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that could seem like it's a very, very kind of hard line in the sand,
right.
I guess, to say, you know, you're created as three parts or you're created as two parts,
mm-hmm.
right? But the way that Pastor Barry had shared it is just very, like, there's some very strong believers that believe one way and very strong believers that believe it another way. But the way that I feel like has helped me in my spiritual walk has been able to look at it through spirit, soul, body.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really appreciated that. How about for you, Ed?
Yeah, no, I think one of the things I appreciate about Pastor Barry is just those kinds of communication skills, you know what I mean? That he is helping us as a teacher and preacher understand biblical truths in ways that will be helpful for us. And so, you know, just even this simple preface of like, hey, there's godly people on both sides,
mm-hmm.
people, scholars who've spent hours on this that believe trichotomy or dichotomy, right? And that God is using them to further the kingdom. I think for me, that was like very freeing. That's true, right? And it's a non-salvific issue, I think, mm-hmm. a lot of times. And so it doesn't have to be presented in a way where it's like a line drawn in the sand, like you either believe dichotomous or trichotomous, right? But then I think what was beautiful about it, and what I really appreciate about Pastor Barry is that he shows how it applies to our life and how it, mm-hmm. you know, how it affects our identity and how we live out the Christian life, right? And so what I found very helpful there was he had a one line in there. You might have to go back and listen to the sermon, but he said something to the effect like, this helps to understand why we're not always living what we're capable of living.
Mm.
And so that's helpful. And I think, you know, when we become believers, we want to see transformation in our lives. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't understand the things that are battling within us mm-hmm. that halts, you know, it just kind of hinders that. And mm-hmm. so I think he did an awesome job of just kind of showing how the trichotomy view helps us to understand that a little bit better. Yeah.
Yeah. When we first started Catalyst, we talked about identity for a long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was years and years and years. And a lot of times the biggest question that would come up would be, okay, so if all of this stuff is true, I'm a new creation, I'm different than I was before, how come I still struggle with sin, mm-hmm. right? And I believe that that's one of the main things that Pastor Barry was trying to present yesterday was, where is the struggle coming from? Where is it coming from? And why do we still struggle with it? If all the things that the Bible says are true, how come we're not experiencing it? And I feel like he did a good job with that.
Yeah, yeah. I think like those figures that he put up on the screen, especially the one that talked about how, you know, before coming to the Lord, we're all broken, mm-hmm. right? We're all separated from the Lord. We have that sin nature or fleshliness about us. And there's one thing that takes dominance, you know, either our mind or our emotions or our will, that's not totally surrendered to Christ, mm-hmm. is a big part of why we wrestle with who we really are and becoming who God has saved us to be. And so those kinds of things are helpful. I think especially for people who are very cognizant or like just very, you know, driven by understanding how we work. Mm-hmm. And I know we've talked a lot about here at Catalyst about how the renewing of our mind is a key piece of being transformed into mm-hmm. the image of Christ. And so a lot of those pieces kind of fell into place yesterday during the sermon.
So for you, which of those three areas kind of resonated with you more? The mind, the emotions, or the will?
Mm-hmm.
Well, as he was describing the three and saying, you know, generally for people, one of the three is kind of the more dominant or the more preferential mm-hmm. Of the three. Which one resonated with you?
Yeah, you know, I've done a lot of those personality assessment tests and stuff like that. And so I think Nora says this, you're kind of in the middle for a lot of those things. Mm. And so, but one of the things, and this kind of speaks to the question that you asked, one of the things that I remember growing up in Crusade and being saved through Crusade was that there was this like train illustration that they had. And they said something like, truth should drive your emotions, right? And so one of those things, that simple saying there, that our emotions should come as a result of what we know is true has just been helpful for me. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe it's the mind thing. I think a lot of times when I hear something or someone's experience in the Christian life, I automatically go to like, okay, you got to show me something in the Bible that substantiates that is an anchor that I can see like, okay, yeah, that's how God works in changing us, in changing our identity, and changing our status before him. I need something that will feed my mind and my mind can anchor to from the word of God. So it's probably the mind thing. But don't get me wrong, like I if I let my emotions kind of take over, I will give the best speeches that I will regret a second after and burn a lot of relationships. So, yeah.
I can totally relate. And I think for me, you know, I think if we were having this discussion like even a month ago, I think I might have a different answer for myself because I think for a long time, I felt like my mind was what was driving me.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like that would be where I would lean on more.
Mm-hmm.
But I started reading this book, and it was actually a book that Pastor Sam had recommended to me. And it's called The Garden Within, and it's by Dr. Anita Phillips. And she's a therapist as well as a theologian.
Uh-huh.
And so she kind of tries to, and a biologist too, I think. So she tries to look at it through different lenses and kind of bring all the lenses together. So what does it look like? What is the psychology world say about it? What does the Bible say about it? And really the purpose of the book is to help people that have felt like their emotions are the enemy to look at it through a different lens, through the lens of how did God create our emotions? Because our emotions were never intended to be the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think for me, a lot of times that's how I felt, was like, oh, my emotions are in me. If, kind of like you said, like if I let my emotions come out, then I'm going to regret it, you know? And so it's been an interesting journey for me to read this book, because I feel like what it's done is it's helped to give a different framework for my emotions.
Mm.
And then also to see the different ways that as I have kind of suppressed or pushed them down, they're actually really is. They really are driving me, but it's just not, I'm not conscious of them. It's a very subconscious way. So it's been freeing, and it's also been very interesting, and it's also been very a struggle to wrestle with some of the concepts in the book. But I feel like, oh, this is actually helping me to understand more of how God created me to live.
Uh-huh.
And kind of the premise that she talks about is that when we are able to allow our emotions to be in line with how God created them, mm-hmm. then we're actually going to live our most full life.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so it's like, okay, I can see how she's getting there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I really felt like it was in line with some of the things that Pastor Barry was talking about in terms of, you know, the challenge that he made at the end of his message was that we all have junk in our lives, right?
Oh,
we
yeah.
all have
right.
damage that has been made by other people. We all have damage that's been from the enemy's lies or mm-hmm. just different hurts and pains and things. And one of the things that the Lord wants to do is help us to clean all that stuff up.
Yeah. Right?
And not to be afraid of facing it and giving it to the Lord so that he can clean it up. But the enemy wants us to feel like, oh, that's going to be too hard. That's going to be too painful. So then it just stays there. And really what it does is it stays there underneath the surface, and it's driving us in ways that we're not even conscious of. So I really feel like going through that book and then also hearing messages like this, it's like, oh, I can see why it's important for us to get those things cleaned up.
Right, right. What's the name of the book again?
The name of the book is The Garden Within.
Okay.
And yeah, I would recommend it to people, that especially if you feel like your viewpoint on your emotions in the past or mm-hmm. growing up has been that it's the enemy that needs to be suppressed.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, I remember even times growing up, like, so, you know, when you look at name, like etymology, right? And you
right.
say, like, where did my name come from? What does it mean?
Uh-huh.
Right? So my name, the definition of my name, Damon, is uh-huh. to tame.
To tame?
Tame.
Okay.
Like to tame a lion.
Okay.
Right. And so I was like, okay, it's like, part of me is I need to tame my emotions, right? And so this book has been like, okay, that's not the right lens to be looking at things through. So yeah, so it's been interesting. But yeah, I would recommend it to people if that's been your viewpoint on your emotions,
mm-hmm.
is that's probably not the way that the Lord had intended mm-hmm. when he created you. And so maybe it's time to read a book like that and see if there's something that needs to shift.
That's great. I think like another older brother in the faith, a friend named Glenn Yamaguchi, he's the senior pastor when we were back in Hawaii, but he would lead our Bible studies in Crusade. He used to always tell us this thing, another kind of quote that's been instrumental in this area, but he would say, like, he goes like, feelings are real and they're powerful, but they're not, I remember it, we're in Bible study, he said, but they're a poor gauge to measure reality at times. Mm. And that was just freeing. And I don't know if it's the Asian American culture and context where feelings are kind of like shunned. They yeah. can be seen as weaknesses, you know, kind of thing. You don't show them. You're very, you're not very liberal in giving away,
yeah.
showing emotions and stuff like that. But that was helpful for me. And I think, you know, just they're a poor way to gauge reality, because I can feel like my mom doesn't love me sometimes. Mm-hmm. But then when I see the objective truth of her faithfulness, her long suffering with me, her commitment, and now because of that truth, mm-hmm. my feelings come along line like, no, I do feel loved by my mom, right? And so, yeah, it's interesting how the enemy in our flesh can use that mm-hmm. in ways that separate us from God and just measure and gauge reality in a poor and inaccurate way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I gotta check out that book.
Yeah, I really appreciate that Pastor Sam had mentioned uh-huh. it. Okay, so one of the things that you had mentioned earlier was submitting our mind, will, and emotions to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that being a major part of being able to walk in the spirit is that we need to be in a position where we're, so those aspects, mind, will, and emotions, make up our soul. Mm-hmm. Right? And so a big part of being able to walk in the spirit is to actually submit our soul to the Lord so that we can walk in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel like that has been in terms of, like, I guess in a journey sense for you, the understanding of being able to submit your soul to the Lord? Do you feel like that's been an easy thing? Do you feel like that's been a difficult thing? How do you feel like that's been for you?
I feel like the Lord's been very patient with me in that regard. You know, there's the will part that kind of comes into play there, of just kind of like the Lord will ask you to do something and you're like, yeah, I don't know if I want to do it. You know, and then I feel like the Lord's been very generous and gracious in walking me through some of a whole lot of those things, and just helping me to know the whys. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, hey, you've been forgiven. You should forgive your son about that. Like, well, no, I've been offended by my son. We wouldn't even need to be talking about this if he would just, you know, be polite or whatever, you know. And and then, you know, God would be, I think there's a whole lot of truth, probably because it's scripture, but where the word says, like, it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. And I think part of the journey has been God showing how incredibly kind he's been to me. And because of that, I think there's that, there's a godly fear side that's like, that's right, I've been forgiven much. I've been shown a lot of grace and kindness to not display that or to express that to somebody else would almost be a slap to the Lord's face to say, like, I don't know that, you know. And so I think earlier on in life, it was kind of like the fear of the Lord, like, I better do this, you know, kind of thing. And so, but it just seems like the Lord's been parenting, the Heavenly Father's been parenting me in a way that, because of his patience with me, has shown me that I've been the recipient of much kindness and grace. So, yeah, I don't know if that answers your question, but.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you bring up the will portion, and when the Lord asks you to do something, it's like, I don't really want to do it. I mean, I had that yesterday in service. I felt like the Lord had impressed on me something that he wanted me to go pray for someone. And I was like, I don't really want to do that. So I was like, okay, I do have a sense that this is from the Lord, but at the same time, like, I don't know how the person's going to respond. I don't know. So I ended up doing it, and ended up working out good, but
cool.
It was like, okay, we're talking to Pastor Barry's talking about submitting our and walking in the spirit. If I'm going to walk in the spirit, I need to, like, not just talk about it. I need to be about it too, right?
Amen.
So, yeah, it's interesting that you're bringing it up like that.
No, I hear you. I you know, we've been trying to explain to some of the boys of, like, you know, just encouraging them and praying for them, like, just telling them, hey, these experiences that mommy and daddy have with the Lord, hearing him and following him and obeying, like, they can't be lived through vicariously, you know? Like, you have to have your own experiences with the Lord. And part of it is just stepping in and being eager to hear his voice. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, the next step is, right, like, doing what he says when he tells you to do it, right? And so, you know, whether it be expressing ourselves a little bit more positively or openly in worship, just kind of letting them know, like, you know, I feel like the Lord is wanting us to do this. And so, but I'm wrestling with what everybody's going to think if I do it, you know, but then encouraging them. And one thing I love about, you know, just our community of faith here at Catalyst is just, I hear and I see, we hear as a family and we see firsthand that when people step into what God calls them to do, it's like, it opens their heart. It opens an avenue to experience him even more in new ways and in powerful ways and in ways that stretches their worship of him. So that's always exciting to see. And that's like an encouraging thing for us to do what he calls us to do when he whispers those things into our lives.
Yeah, and I really do feel like that word kindness has been very helpful too, just in recognizing that, you know, the Lord doesn't call us necessarily to do something crazy outside the box first.
Right.
Right. It's like he'll, in his kindness, take us on this journey, recognizing it is a journey for us to step out in faith and take make these different choices. And so a lot of times it's these smaller things that lead up to somewhere bigger. And it's not just all of a sudden something crazy. But in our mind, we're you know, racking our brain like, oh, what's he going to ask me to do next? What's he going to ask me to do next?
For sure.
But knowing the Lord's kindness and that he acts towards us in a kind way, I think that's really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And just I think some of the things that you know, looking back, like doing that timeline thing again, it's some of the huge steps maybe of faith were kind of, I don't want to say easier to take, but kind of what pushes us over to make it is just to remember, like, but the Lord's been so kind, you know, the Lord's been so faithful and trustworthy. Why would we not do this? You know what I mean? Kind of thing. And so, yeah, that's probably a highlight of the most recent things that God is doing in our lives. Yeah.
And I think that is just a picture of why the words remember are written so many times in the Bible. It's because it's so easy to forget, right? So the Lord is encouraging us, remember the good things that I've done for you.
Yeah.
Remember these things, because the enemy is going to try to get you to forget, and he's going to try to make you look at what's in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really the things that the Lord has done in the past that are supposed to help you to make some of those difficult choices.
Yeah, no, for sure. And yeah, I can be a person who gets very negative fast. And so, you know, I think God in his grace and wise kids and a spouse has shown me that, like, hey, when you get in that place, it's not pretty. It's not attractive at all. And so, you know, just trying to remember all God's blessings. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times it's easy to kind of see the negative things. And then, you know, I think the Lord will gently snap us back into reality. Like, hey, these are first world problems, pal, you know? So yeah. And then, you know, just there's a stewardship of just kind of, God in his providence has chosen in his wisdom to put us in this place, in this time, in this country. And how do we steward our lives well, you know, to live out what he has wisely chosen to do with our lives. So, yeah.
All right. So this question might come, I wouldn't say out of left field, because it's in line with what we're talking about. But, you know, so the series that we're talking through is Walking in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to ask you, if there's one encouragement to someone that this is a totally new topic for, someone that's like, okay, they're talking about walking in the Spirit, I don't know what that looks like, or I don't know, like, why do I even want to do that? Is there an encouragement that you would have for that person? Like, potentially, like, what is the benefit of walking by the Spirit versus walking by the flesh, or walking in the world?
I think that's a great question, Damon. I think some of the initial thoughts that come to mind, just as you asked that now, is like hearing the Lord. I think being close to the Lord. I think there's those things, like you mentioned, like for us to look back and remember, because oftentimes we do forget. But the kind of relationship that the Lord wants to have with us, you know, is kind of like when the Lord spoke with Moses as a friend, right? And you know, there's other passages. I can't rattle off the chapter and verse right now. $30,000 of seminary. I can't rattle off verses, chapters and verses. But you know, where where Jesus says, like, you know, I don't treat you guys as servants anymore. I treat you as friends. I let you know what I'm doing, right? Kind of thing. And so it's that nearness. Pastor Barry kind of said it yesterday in a way that kind of sums it up, I think, as you asked that question now. Like, you want to hear the Lord, like, to be ready for where the world is going, we need to hear the Lord, right? And so to hear his voice, to know that there is his presence as we hear his voice and we follow our shepherd, and there's peace in the midst of all the chaos that's going on in the world. We need to walk in the Spirit, and a great gift and promise of doing that is being able to hear the Lord as he leads us and guides us. I think that's one of the things that comes to mind.
Yeah, I really like that perspective of it's a gift that we get to hear from the Lord, that God, the creator of the universe, wants to have that type of relationship where he calls us friend, that he can, you know, we can hear his voice, that he's not just, you know, some standoffish celebrity that, you know, doesn't care about what we do or who we are, but he wants to have that type of relationship, and it's a gift that he is that type of God towards us, and he wants that relationship towards us. So I think it's a cool perspective to see as we walk in the Spirit, we get a chance to experience that where we're not allowing the other things in our soul, the broken parts of our soul, to get in the way and hinder us from hearing his voice or being close to us. But we get a chance to experience the nearness, the peace, the joy, the fruit of the Spirit, because we're walking in the Spirit and we're able to sense his presence near us.
Amen. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I feel like I need things. I need people reminding me. I need to see in the Word those images of how God is personal and intimate to heighten my expectation for that, you know, because I think I can, you know, just, they talk about a little bit how like your Christian psychologists will talk about like how your relationship with your earthly father kind of colors the kind of expectations you have with the Heavenly Father at times. And so, you know, from an Asian American community, it's not all lovey-dovey and verbal expressions of affection and stuff like that. And so it can be a stretch at times to think that way. And so to expect that or to think that's normal. And so, you know, just to be challenged that, no, God wants to touch hearts with us. God wants to be part of our lives. And yeah, so that's a big challenge I need to remind myself often at times.
Yeah, I think it highlights too having a full picture of who the Lord is. Because I do think that there, you know, there's people that are like us that grew up in Asian American families where that type of relationship is more of a like authoritative or more, I guess, hierarchical, patriarchal, you know, not as much feelings oriented, but more, just like you got to do the right thing or you got to live the right way, that type of, which is important. And then there's other people that grew up on the other side, right?
Right.
Where everything is totally grace and relationship and everything, and could get on the side of being lawless.
Right.
And so it's not to fall into one side or the other, but it's to recognize there are aspects of the Lord on both sides where there is an aspect of the Lord's, the awesomeness, the fear of the Lord, the greatness of who he is. But then there's also the relationship, the intimacy, and it's all wrapped into one. The Lord offers all of that. It's not just one or the other, where I feel like the way the world presents it, it's, you got to go one way or the other.
Right.
When the Lord is really in the tension between the two.
Yeah, that's great. Great explanation there. Yeah. And then, you know, you have all different kinds of relationships with your parents. There's the drop dead ones, the absent ones and all that. And, you know, I know my father didn't grow up as a believer until late in life before he passed away. But, you know, I just think like, he did the best he did, right? Like his way of showing love was just to provide for us and make sure there's food on the table, a roof over our heads and stuff. And, you know, I think becoming a father afterwards for me, like when I became a father, I'm like, man, this is hard, right? You're doing your best. And then, but at the same time, you know, as we read the Word, we see the different facets of God's love toward us and how we are the beneficiaries of all aspects of his character. So, yeah, just, I don't even know how we got here.
Yeah, I mean, to build on that a little bit more too, I feel like that's been one of the things as I've experienced and grown in understanding the fullness of God, it's also grown in my compassion for people, right? So kind of like you were talking about how as you got older and you were able to see your dad, right? And it's like, oh, like this was hard and he's doing the best, he did the best that he knew how to do.
Yeah.
I think most people are trying to do the best that they know, but just whether it's just different ways that they've been hurt, just different ways the world has jaded them or just different things or even just the ways that people were raised, it might come into conflict with my values or the Lord's values, but that doesn't change the way the Lord sees them and the way the Lord looks at them through. And Jesus came for them too.
Right? Amen.
And so I think that understanding how big the Lord is has really helped me in my compassion for other people and to recognize like, oh, I understand why Jesus says, pray for your enemies because he's not looking at them as enemies the way that the world is looking at them. He's looking at them through the lens of this is my son or my daughter and there's some brokenness in them as a result of sin. And that's how he looks at them. So it's not, oh, these are my enemies, but this is someone that's hurting. This is someone and some of their actions or some of the things that they're doing is coming from that place of hurt or brokenness. And so we do want to pray for that person, pray for their healing, pray for their wholeness, pray for them so that they're able to live more out of who they were designed to be as opposed to who the world has turned them into.
Yeah. And I think you nailed it. Like just the effects and the power of sin and the fall where people who are made in the image of God and we're supposed to reflect him and be his ambassadors and how he can kind of all those hurts and woundings and living out of the lies of the enemy kind of thing, how destructive it can be on relationships that are supposed to be dear and and building each other up. Yeah, it's just, we need saving, man. we need saving. And I think kind of like along the lines of what you were saying, what it all boils down to when we look at another person is that we're all made in God's image, that image has been defaced, right? And the bottom line, when you strip away all the veneer and stuff, it's we're all sinners in need of grace. We're just all sinners in need of grace and repairing, and we need to be made new. And God in his grace has sent his son to do that. So kindness. Immeasurable kindness. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even in the way that the Lord sent his son to do that for us, it's like that is ultimate kindness there, right? We don't have to atone for our own stuff.
Yeah.
He did it for us.
Over and above, right? You know, as parents right now, right? Like, man, there's times our kids drive us crazy, but there's no way, right? You would sacrifice your son for someone else, right? But God does that with his perfect son, you know? I think we'll have all of eternity wrap our heads around the amazing love that went into that act. Yeah.
Yeah, and I believe really that's part of the Lord's heart, right? Is to redeem the people that have been broken, right?
Yeah.
And that's why Jesus came, is for that redemption, right? And I think that's an area where, as believers, that we have an opportunity to participate in that process and helping people to meet Jesus and to meet the Lord, right? And so they can come into relationship with him. And I think one of the things that, you know, as in Pastor Barry's encouragement for us to recognize the areas of brokenness and hurt and pain in our own lives and to kind of clean that stuff up or at least be intentional about taking steps towards allowing the Lord to clean those things up is because how can we help someone else do that when it's not happening within us too. And so I think that's part of the encouragement that Pastor Barry has is that, you know, he wants us to be able to clean ourselves up, clean up our soul, clean up the brokenness, give that to the Lord so that then we can invite other people to see, oh, this is what happens when we allow the Lord into our life, this transformation.
Yeah. Amen. Right. It's powerful when you're able to kind of share that message when you've experienced it firsthand. Right. I think some of the things to, I know I wrestle with in that regard is just kind of, I don't know if this is true of you guys or stuff like that. I may be weird. I am weird. But but like, you know, sometimes I feel like I need to have my act all together before I can share that great news of being reconciled to God and being repaired and restored by him. And that's like a big lie from the enemy, you know, like it's going to be a constant process. Mm-hmm. And I can rejoice when people are not fully repaired and still kind of going through their things, but God is in them in the process. So I don't know why I feel like I need to have my act all together before I can share those things. And so, you know, hearing like Pastor Ross kind of share about some of how God is moving him in that just kind of encourages me, like, yeah, man, like we're all in process. That doesn't mean that God isn't doing anything powerful. And so I can share the things that he's doing currently because they are real and they are tangible and yeah, bringing beauty out of the ashes that we've been through.
Yeah, and that's one reason I like, as you were sharing earlier about the remembering, is that it reminds us how real our journey is. And it's, you know, it's not just a head knowledge thing where we're learning more, but it's the Lord is helping us to experience the reality of who he is at the same time as we're growing in our knowledge too. So it's not just, okay, you got to learn, you know, math from 1 + 1 to calculus, but it's like you get to experience the reasons why and what he's doing in all of that too.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing how God is like a process-oriented God, you know, kind of thing. There's things he makes us immediately holy, but as we walk through and journey through this life, he is with us day in and day out and seeing us to the finish line, right? And I do wish it would happen in a snap. But part of the journey, I think, is relying on the Lord's strength and saying, hey, this flesh is beating me up right now, and I need you, Holy Spirit, to just conquer some of the things that Paul says, right? The things I ought not to do, I want to do, and the things that I should want to do, I don't do, right? And so who will deliver me? But thanks be to God for being our deliverer in that regard.
So another area of focus that Pastor Barry had mentioned, and you kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier too, is the ability to hear the Lord's voice.
Mm.
So is there something that you have done or something, an experience that you've had that really helped you to hear the Lord's voice more clearly or to have an expectation that the Lord will speak? Because I think that's a question that a lot of people have is like, either the idea of, no, God doesn't talk to me, or God doesn't talk to me like that, or, you know, kind of limiting their own understanding of the Lord's ability to speak to them. So is there something that has helped you in your ability to hear the Lord's voice?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, I know at our church, we do a lot of lab work, you know, Pastor Barry will walk through, either classes or exercises to kind of help us hear the Lord. I think one of the things, you know, when you asked that question just a moment ago, that comes to mind that it's hard, I don't know, for me anyway, it's hard to hear the Lord when I'm busy. And for some reason, I don't know if it's because of my flesh, I like being busy. Being busy makes me feel important, makes me feel like, you know, I'm getting things done, but it doesn't make for the greatest atmosphere to hear the Lord, I think, at times. And so I remember Pastor Sam, I was meeting with him for a while, but he said like, hey, I'm going to encourage you to go on these walks. And all you do is like, you're not griping to the Lord. You're not, you know, fussing about your day or grumbling about your day. I just want you to be still and walk. And when the Lord says, stop here, jot down whatever he says, or if he brings a picture to your mind kind of thing. And then of course, weigh it out, right? Always like the Lord won't tell you anything that's contrary to scripture, right? But I think as I allow more margin like that in my life, there's something about my soul that becomes still and kind of like what the psalmist says, right? Like my soul becomes still and I know that God is God. And I feel at those times that he addresses things that maybe I've been putting on the back burner and not, you know, being busy about because I don't want to face it, you know. So I think to answer your question, one is to kind of eliminate busyness from my life. And then two, to kind of practice just listening. I think those are two things that stand out. Yeah. How about for you?
Oh, I'm very similar. I think for me, taking that time out, and you know, for the last 20 plus years, my career job has been in front of a computer. So I'm in front of a computer all the time. And so for me, one of the biggest things has been, and this is, it's also nice that I feel like I'm a runner too, is that I really look at the times that I go running as an opportunity to unplug from the busyness of, you know, all the emails and all the things going on, to get away from my phone, to get away from my computer, and just, this is my me and God time. And so one of the things that I do when I start running is that I kind of say the alignment prayer. So if you don't know what the alignment prayer is, it's I tell my body to submit itself to my soul. I tell my soul to submit itself to my spirit. And I tell my spirit to submit to the Holy Spirit. So I'm trying to align the three parts of myself underneath the covering and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And so when I start my run, I try to do that. And then a lot of times I feel like the Lord will speak when I'm on my run.
That's awesome.
So kind of in a similar way to you saying that, you know, when you go walking, the Lord speaks. Like, I really feel like the Lord, some of my best conversations with the Lord have been coming when I run.
That's awesome.
So yeah, the hardest thing for me is to get the first step out the door. But generally afterwards, like, oh, that was really good. I'm glad I did it. But yeah, I do feel like there is something to our physical body being engaged in us hearing the Lord as well.
Yeah.
I think sometimes it's really hard when I'm just like sitting still, or like I'm sitting on the couch, like I turn everything off, but I'm sitting on the couch like, okay, God, speak to me. I think there's some, I feel like there is something different and unique and special about engaging my body in the process too. So I'm not sure if that's for everybody, but for myself, I have felt like there, as my body has become engaged in the process, it has enhanced everything too.
That's awesome. I mean, kind of like along the lines of what Pastor Barry talked about today, we are, trichotomy. We're made up of three different substances. And so I think, you know, there is a thing about engaging with the Lord, with using our body in ways that will steward it well and show that we want to worship the Lord because God has given us these bodies, right? And so my prayer times with the Lord when I go running is like, good Lord, when is this run over? Today, Damon has me on a 40-minute long run, and I'm like, oh man, 35 more minutes. So that's the conversations I have with the Lord when I go running. But yeah, you know, like it's interesting. Something you said kind of sparked a thought from seminary before, but people would literally hear Jesus when they were walking with him, walking on the road, walking to the market, walking from one city to another. And so there is that kind of connection there, kinetic connection with, you know, engaging your body and your soul and your mind with hearing the Lord. And so, yeah, I think there's a thing to it then. I remember I was on, when COVID came, we were driving like very far because they had us based in different places. And some of the drives were like 6 hours to Oakland, you know, from down here. But some of those times were very engaged times. Just sitting before the Lord and letting him say, Ed, there's some areas I think we need to address, you know, and here's some areas where I'm going to give you an attaboy, but here's some areas I think you've been kind of avoiding, you know. And so those were definite times of traveling in the modern way, you know, to hear the Lord. I think the other thing that when you were speaking, when you asked that question was just, I think the more I hear God's word preached, the more I'm in the Bible kind of thing, that helps me hear God's voice better. You know, so when I hear something, it'll be like, was that the Lord? Would the Lord really ask me that? And then the Lord would highlight, the Holy Spirit will highlight a verse from a sermon or a verse I read, you know, a few days ago in quiet time or something like that, or a song that highlighted that particular Bible verse. And I'd be like, I think the Lord's trying to get my attention on this. And so that's always been another way that I feel like the Lord heightens our hearing sensibilities, whether it be the ears of our heart or whatnot, you know. So yeah, those are a few things that come to mind.
Yeah, I think, you know, as a challenge to our listeners,
mm-hmm.
you know, one of the things that our youth are doing right now is they are making a commitment to it. The way that they were presented is fast. I know Mimo's listening, so it's not a technical fast. It's more of an abstaining.
Okay.
But they've been asked to abstain from something that they feel like has hindered themselves from experiencing the Lord or gets in the way of their quality time with the Lord.
Okay.
And so, you know, some people are giving up YouTube or wow. Instagram or just different things, right? And so I think one of the things that at you know, that you were talking about was maybe one of the things that the Lord might want us to do is to join them as we prepare.
Oh, yeah.
For the retreat coming up in September and join the youth. You know, they're taking the lead. We can join them too and abstain from something that might be making us more busy or taking up some busy time. And, you know, kind of like Ed was sharing, take that time that you would be normally scrolling or doing something mm-hmm. else and go for a quick walk. You know,
yeah.
go for a 5-minute walk or and just see like, hey, Lord, like I'm going to this might start as a 5-minute walk and I don't normally do this, but I want to hear your voice more clearly. So is this an opportunity for me to kind of just get away from the busyness and hear your voice?
Yeah, that's a great challenge, I think. Well, it just seems to be comfort, but like a false comfort in being busy mm-hmm. and not having that quiet, sit still, let the Lord examine you kind of time. And but every time that Sam would encourage me to do it and he said like you got to start pushing this out a little bit longer each time, I came away blessed, just glad I did it. And the Lord allowed enough whatever energy and time to get everything else done. Mm-hmm. And so I think that'd be a great challenge. Especially for my boys. No, I'm just joking. They probably have a list of stuff that I should give up.
Yeah. So if you are someone that, I mean, just everybody too, but if you're someone that has had a difficult time in hearing the Lord's voice, you know, as we prepare for the retreat, maybe this is an opportunity for you to make that type of commitment to say, I want to hear your voice more clearly, Lord. Pastor Barry's been talking about it, how important it is. We're talking about on the podcast how important it is to hear God's voice. And if that's something that you might have been a struggle in the past, maybe that's something to think about as and prepare for the retreat by saying, okay, I'm willing to take this time to be intentional about that and see where the Lord leads. And
amen.
I'm just telling you, at the beginning, it will probably be tough because we're so used to being busy that once things get quiet a little bit, the thoughts and the voices and just the other things that are going to be flooding your mind. But, you know, as you continue to step into it, it'll get easier and easier to clear your mind and be at peace with the Lord.
Right, right. One of the classes I think I've been hearing, the kingdom classes that have been going on, but Pastor Barry's one about hearing God's voice, is that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been wanting to take it. I've been wanting to take it for a long time, but because of busyness. I love that there's like only a certain amount of classes that you can miss,
because
then, you know, it just kind of shows that you're serious about it. And So, looking forward to being able to have more margin in our lives and to take one of those classes too.
Yeah, and that's one thing that, you know, I think Pastor Barry's going to continue to have that class until the majority, I mean, probably more than majority of people in our church take it, just because he feels like it's that important.
Yeah.
So he wants to keep it available until everybody has taken it, because it to him, that is probably the most important thing besides receiving Jesus is being able to hear God's voice.
Yeah. And just, I mean, the promises of just being made right with the Lord and coming into a saving relationship with him is to hear God talk to you like a friend, right? And talk to you as a son or daughter. And so why would you not want to get all the blessings that God wants to avail to you? Yeah.
All right. So we are actually running out of time.
Okay.
So before we close, I wanted to ask you, is there anything else that you'd like to leave our listeners with before we end this episode?
trying to think. We talked about a lot of stuff already, but, you know, I think, yeah, even now as you ask that question, I just feel like one of the things that's kind of rising up is just to increase that expectation, you know. I think there's some personality types that kind of like, if we keep the expectations low, then the fall is not as high. But I think God, out of his goodness, is always wanting to seek us out. Like we see from the fall in the beginning, I think one powerful picture is Adam and Eve after the fall, covering up all their shame, right, in the best way that they can. And the Lord is walking through the garden looking for them, trying to find them, right? And so now that we've been restored in that relationship with him, right? You know, neither death nor life, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And so expect, heighten your expectancy that the Lord wants to and seeks to speak to you.
Yeah, I think that's one of the highlights that I had from Pastor Dean coming recently is he would say, like, he kind of challenges the Lord. I was like, you have the audacity to do something, but challenges the Lord to show up in certain places. And it's like with the expectancy that he is. And he's like, that's kind of, I might be interpreting what he said wrong, but it's kind of like a game for him. Like, oh, can I raise the bar on what the Lord's going to do and see what the Lord does?
Interesting.
And so yeah, just, it's like, wow, his expectancy for the Lord showing up is just like really high. It's like, I want that too. I want to expect the Lord's going to show up in these amazing ways instead of always expecting the opposite. It's like, what if the Lord doesn't show up?
Oh, right, right. Yeah.
But it's like kind of raising that bar, like you said. So I think that's a good word for our people, is to raise our expectancy that the Lord will show up. And I think one of the ways to do that is what you had said before, to remember the ways that he has shown up. And that helps us to make those steps and to raise our level of expectancy, because he's done it before.
Yeah. Yeah. God is good. God is good.
All the time.
Yeah. Amen.
All right. Well, thanks, Ed, for coming on. We really appreciate you and look to forward to having you come on again.
Oh, thanks, Damon. It's been great. Thanks. What a privilege.
All right. So that wraps up this episode. Thanks for listening. We appreciate all you listeners out there. And until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.